Hey, hey, welcome to Loving the Strange.
Again.
Again, the podcast where the person in charge of the tech named Carrie forgets to go live.
We're 3 minutes late. Sorry, folks.
Now we're 3 minutes late and we didn't do our intro. Should we do our intro?
No, if anybody's here, they'll see the outro. It's pretty much the same thing, right?
Yeah, but I don't feel complete without the intro.
All right, do it. It only takes a minute.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
It's Loving the Strange with Carrie Jones and Sean Farrar. Loving the Strange, a podcast for weirdos and those who want to be weirder. Embrace the strange. New episodes every Saturday, live streaming Fridays. Loving the Strange. Check us out. Hey.
Hey there, baby girl. I have a
welcome
question.
Officially to Loving the Strange. Yeah.
So does all the pre-live stuff go on to the, like, if you're listening to just the auditory podcast?
I'm going to take it off.
Oh.
I know how to do that. I know, except for remembering to press the button. There's a button and it says go live.
Is it big?
It's big button. It's a different color than all the other buttons. But anyways, hey, welcome to Loving the Strange and our fourth podcast all about
lucid dreams. Yeah. Lucid dreams.
And we're doing this podcast because this week earlier, which I just explained on the land of unlive, but earlier this week I had a Facebook post where I said that I had lucid dreams and I only just realized that not everybody has those. And then there are all these comments like boom, 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 right? And it turned out that a lot of people do have lucid dreams. A lot of people don't dream at all. And a lot of people didn't know what the word meant. So,
a lucid dream is when basically simply when you're aware you're dreaming.
Yeah.
However, if you practice or can make yourself, you can actually control the dream.
Yeah. So like when I was talking about lucid dreaming, I wasn't talking about that original definition, which is basically a dream in which dreamers while dreaming are aware that they are dreaming. Instead, I was talking about when you're inside your dream and you like manipulate it because you are like, hey, it'd be fun to fly now. Or, oh my gosh, I don't want to be naked in my high school calculus class about to take a midterm. Like, so whenever that happens in my dreams, I just stop, right?
What if you were dreaming a lucid dream and one of the people in your dream was also lucid and he was like, yeah, you do. Be naked.
Dude, that would be like Inception and Manifest and a whole bunch of really cool sci-fi movies.
Yeah, a lot of sci-fi movies, actually.
And books, yeah. Right? And the reason that I even thought about this and was surprised is because there was a news article because some scientist did some research. And this was mind-blowing to me only because I was like, yeah, duh. But the research, the research was basically that there's like you can talk to other people during a dream. So scientists basically demonstrated that you can have two-way communication with the person who's dreaming a lucid dream and yourself.
That's crazy.
No, I think that's totally normal. I think you do that to me all the time. But I thought, like, what? Everyone knows that because at every slumber party I ever went to at during my time at McKelvey Middle School in Bedford, New Hampshire.
Yeah.
I think I only got invited, now that I think about it, to all the slumber parties, not because I was popular, but because you would talk to me in my sleep and I would talk back to you, but I would still be dreaming and I would totally have those dreams and I'd be like, oh, Debbie Muir is asking me like what 47 plus 12 is and oh, okay, I'll sing Mary Had a Little Lamb. Like I would do anything for anybody during, not in a creepy way, Sean, like during those times, like I just really had the best time.
Yeah.
What? Well,
oh, I was waving to Emily.
Oh.
Anyways, I've definitely spoken to you in depth during lucid dreams.
Yeah.
And you've responded.
Yeah, I thought that was normal.
And I think a lot of times, honestly, you initiated the conversation.
Whatever. But I guess it's not like sleep talking or walking. It's a totally different thing that happens in REM sleep.
Oh, yeah. It is.
Yeah.
What? Nothing. I'm still kind of amazed that the basic definition means just that you're aware that you were dreaming.
Yeah, I know. Because I thought everybody did that all the time, like almost all the time, except when I'm having serial killer dreams, I'm totally aware that I'm dreaming. Yeah. You know?
Well, I think that's a trick. I think that people dream more than they realize and they just don't remember whatsoever.
Oh.
So. Maybe. But to be able to control them is a whole nother level and super cool.
Yeah. But I thought everyone did that. But it turns out people don't dream at all. Some people, or they don't remember their dreams. Like you hardly remember your dreams, right?
That's right. Yeah. Like yeah. I would say that I hardly dream at all.
Which is amazing to me because I'm like, yeah, it's time to go to bed so I can dream. And I get all excited because it's so much fun.
It's probably an untrue fact.
What?
It's probably an untrue statement. I don't remember the dreams.
Yeah, that's why I had originally phrased it that way.
Right.
Yeah.
No, it's my self-realization.
See, we're all about the realizations this week.
That I dream more than I think.
Yeah. So I think it's really cool that like they research this. I just was stunned that they didn't research it or know it already. But apparently a long time in the scientific community, people thought lurid dreams was like BS. They thought it wasn't even real.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's
crazy.
I know. Isn't that wild? Like, I can't even imagine not thinking that it's real.
Did they think that you couldn't control it?
They thought that you couldn't even be aware that you were dreaming in that state.
Really?
Yeah. And it's so funny to me because obviously none of them read Aristotle. And I have that quote from Aristotle somewhere, hopefully. Oh, yes. All right. So Aristotle, ancient Greek philosopher, he described it in his treatise on dreams. And he said, if the sleeper perceives that he is asleep and is conscious of the sleeping state during which the perception comes before his mind, it presents itself still, but something within him speaks to this effect. And that effect would be like, hey, the image of Carrie presents herself, but the real Carrie's not here. And then boom, there you go. So even Aristotle did it. And then some researchers in Brazil, they asked a bunch of like over 3,000 people and did a survey. And 77% of the people said, yeah, at least once I've been aware in my dream that I was dreaming.
Yeah.
So that first level of lucid dreaming seems pretty common. But I mean, for someone like me, like I can't even, I do it almost every night. Like, and then I'm like, oh, remember this one. This is really cool. And I'll say it to myself in my dream that I should remember the images in my dream.
That's pretty cool. Yeah. I've done that too, but 99% of the time I don't remember crap. But
that counts. If you do it, that counts. You're lucid dreaming.
I remember like telling myself to remember this dream, but I don't remember anything about the dream.
Well, you're not alone. Maria said that her husband Mick never dreams.
He probably does. He just doesn't remember.
He's just like you, man. He doesn't want to remember them.
They're horrible.
They're so terrifying. No. And Doug Marshall, yay, hi Doug, only remembers his dreams once. And then the very act of remembering erases them, which is really intriguing because a lot of the science is about how when we're asleep, that's the time when we process memories in our day, etc. Yeah. And how, you know, the different aspects and parts of your brain that allow for lucid dreaming when they're activated and how that impacts memory and whether or not that makes you more mentally healthy or mentally unhealthy, and they don't know yet. But you and I are on opposite ends of the spectrum, my friend. So
we are.
Who's more mentally healthy here?
Well,
scary
they
question.
Say it's not about mental health necessarily, although there is a mental health aspect. But they say that more creative people are more apt to be lucid dreamers.
Do you don't think you're creative?
Not like you. No.
Creative, baby.
Oh, come on.
Oh, come on.
Let's stick to the facts here.
Anyways, I thought that was really, really interesting. And I'm not a big fan of Aristotle, but I still like the fact that he had that quote, you know?
Yeah, it's very cool.
Linda said that if she ever, she doesn't ever remember a dream, if she dreams at all, and it takes her forever to fall asleep. That's sad, Linda. I love sleep.
It oftentimes takes you forever to fall asleep, too. But you often
remember. That's such a lie.
Of late, yes, it is a lie. Of late, you've been falling asleep quick.
I'm very quick right now. But Sean has the amazing ability to fall asleep anywhere instantaneously.
Pretty much.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. And Kate has a dream journal where a lot of her writing comes from. And a lot of writers do that. Like, they take the images. I guess this is, again, the link between creativity and dreams. Like, they'll take the images from their dreams and then use them in their writing. Ever since the pandemic started, I guess since Maine kind of went into lockdown on March 15th, I've been keeping a pandemic diary where I just write really quickly first thing in the morning my first dreams that I like in a quick way, because if I wrote the whole thing out, it would be pages and pages and pages. And there's a lot of weird stuff in there that I hope I get to mine someday, you know?
Well, they say to keeping a dream journal is also a tool to building your, controlling your lucid dreaming skills. Because you're consciously remembering the dreams and it carries over into your sleep state.
Really?
Yeah. According to the research I did today on lucid dreaming.
Sean's Google search.
It's really interesting.
Actually. It's wicked interesting. Yeah. It's so interesting. And then, you know, like, if you want to go, like, really weirdly into things, like, you can talk about, like, dreams that turn out to be true. You know, dreams in which people talk to their dead loved ones. You can talk about sleep paralysis. And there's, like, just so many different aspects that are so intriguing that science has barely delved into, you know?
That's right.
There's, like, this... Oh, were you going to say something, dude?
I was going to say, I just remembered you were talking about mental health a minute ago. And they actually...
You can't say anything mean about me, man.
No. But they actually say that if you have mental health issues, you should not pursue the lucid dreaming.
Really?
Yeah. Why? Because it's harder for you to make the distinction between reality and dreaming.
Oh. Really?
Yeah. It's in my paperwork.
But that seems like a bummer. That's like, hey, I'm already dealing with stuff, and now I can't even have this fun time in dreamland either.
Well, it's the control factor. The when you get into trying to control them, not the remembering, the basic lucid dreaming, but trying to control them.
You know, there's a lot of like therapies for people who have nightmares where they try to teach, like people who are overwhelmed by recurring nightmares, where they try to teach them how to lucid dream.
Like PTSD.
Yeah. And
super high anxiety people. Yes, that's true.
And there's this really cool paper back in 2018 where they said that humans typically lack awareness that they're dreaming while dreaming. However, at times, a remarkable exception occurs and reflective consciousness can be regained while dreaming, referred to as lucid dreaming. While most individuals experience lucid dreams rarely, there's substantial variance in lucid dream frequency. The neurobiological basis of lucid dreaming is unknown. And I like that.
That it's unknown?
Yes.
Of course.
Because that's sexy.
The unknown is always the best stuff.
Yeah. Like, it just, like, I don't know. There's so few things that feel magical about our bodies lately. And so maybe that's just because I'm getting old. But, you know, like that whole dream thing, that feels magical, right?
Yes. It is magical.
Yeah.
But, you know, have you ever heard that whoever you're dreaming about is most likely dreaming about you?
No.
Okay. I have. Like in the high school psychology class.
So you never dream about me, Bay.
Oh, I do so. You're in majority of my dreams.
You're never in my dreams.
That's your fault.
That's not fair.
But I am sometimes. I'm just not current day me.
Do you ever have dreams where you dream that you're not you? Like you're inside the consciousness of another person?
Oh, no. No. I'm always no. me.
Somehow that doesn't surprise me.
I know you.
What? You're buffering.
I said I know you do.
Oh.
Have those kind of dreams, yes.
I do have those kind of dreams.
And they can be a bit scary for you.
I don't like them very much. They're not as fun.
Well, nobody wants to be. Nobody wants to be a serial killer, love.
No, usually when I have bad dreams, I'm like somebody else murdering somebody else. I have no idea why. The end, and we'll move on. And okay. I've had sleep paralysis once, but Sean used to get it all the time. You want to talk about that, Boo?
Sure.
Sleep paralysis, can you explain what it is?
Sleep paralysis is when you're asleep, but your brain is conscious. So it can be a little scary, as it was for you and as it was for me the first few times. I haven't had it in forever. For some reason, when I was a teenager, I went through this stint where it was quite common. But I learned how to control it quite rapidly, and that was by making myself fall back asleep, even though I was already asleep. But I think that now that I know more about it, that idea would be to make your brain lose consciousness and go back into sleep mode. But the fact that when it happened to me a lot, I would always be at my grandparents' house, and I couldn't move anything. I couldn't move anything about my body, but I would believe that I was totally awake, and I guess my brain was. And I could see my grandparents, like, because most often I'd be sleeping on their couch because I often napped there, and I could see them.
You can't sleep anywhere. That's right.
Yeah. That's a story for another day if my friend John Bell ever comes back on here. But anyways, I would often think that they were right there next to me, like holding a conversation and stuff. And once I kind of figured it out, I would question them, and they wouldn't have been, they would have been in the office, or my grandmother would have been in the kitchen cooking, and it was all false. But the feeling of being totally paralyzed is really the thing that horror movies are made of, like being buried alive or something similar to that. It's horrendous.
It's so scary. It is. The one time that I had it, it was were you done? Are you not done?
I was going to say that I actually came to enjoy it after a while because I knew what it was and I knew that I could control it and get out of it.
Yeah. Like it's so scary. The one time that I had it, the only, like, even though I have lucid dreaming like every friggin' night, you can tell I'm from New Hampshire when I talk like that, huh? But the one time that I had sleep paralysis, I was in New Orleans and we were in a hotel that was reportedly haunted. And so I think my mind just went, ooh, reportedly haunted. And it started off with this dream where I was in the backseat of a car going down a winding mountain road and the car crashed and everybody was dead. You know, I was like, oh crud, everybody's dead. And then boom, I thought I should probably wake up right now. And then I woke up and it was like there was a weight on the bed, right? Like, oh, are you laughing at me, Sean? No,
sort of, 50-50. Go. Tell this great story, though.
All right. I was waiting. I'm sorry. John Bell wants me to, Sean, to spice things up. But I was on the bed, and Sean was on the bed snoring like that, because that's how Sean snores. And there was this weight on the bed. I looked up, and there was this little girl. And she was like looking for her mom, and I knew I wasn't her mom, but she wanted to touch me and reach out, and like she pet my hair and like was calling me mom. And behind her was this guy who was her dad. And I was trying so hard to tell these people that I was not the mom who died in the car crash that they were looking for. And at the same time, I was trying really hard to wake up Sean, because I figured out if there were ghosts, he would want to wake up, and I couldn't move. And that's how I knew I had sleep paralysis. It was terrifying. The end.
I gotta say, if I've ever been in a haunted building before, that hotel was it.
It was scary.
That was the best hotel. I want to go back there as soon as we feel safe to travel freely. We need to go back there.
I don't want to go back there. You can go back with John Bell. How's that?
What
I think John Bell can be on the bed. And like,
we're going to go back there, love you and I. Right. In that same room. I don't remember what room it was, but so what I was going to say about John verifying when you said I could sleep anywhere is that, remember I told you across the street from his house used to be a rec center?
Yes.
So right in front of his house was our street, Fifth Ave, and then there was a little median type of thing, but it was lined with telephone poles on their side, and then it was the parking lot for the rec center. And I used to lay on the telephone pole and fall asleep in the middle of the day. Like, just because I was bored or whatever. So if everybody else was out there hanging out and I got bored, I'd lay down on that telephone pole and fall asleep.
According to John Bell, you slept standing up, my friend. And I think that that's true.
That's probably true, too.
I think John needs to just be dialed into a next show so he can just tell Sean's stories.
No.
Yeah. No. Mm-hmm. I think it's a good idea. Some people's brains are magically wired like Sean Farrar's, and they can sleep standing up or on telephone poles, which is the weirdest thing ever.
Well, they were laying down. They were, you know, lengthwise. And
buddy, it's a telephone pole, man. That's hard. And
but if you put one foot on each side, you're stabilized, and you just lay down, take a little nap.
Dude, were you? Anyways. You know, I've been reading a lot about Bigfoot sightings in Florida. Do you think you were any of those sightings were actually you?
No.
Like, yeah, I saw Bigfoot. He was sleeping standing up by the rec center. Or, yeah, I saw this Bigfoot, and he was laying on a telephone pole, just snoring. Like, you should have heard this beast snore. Like that.
I don't know if I snored back then. Honest to God, I can't remember.
I'm sure John Bell can tell us.
He says he's got days of content on me.
I believe it. I want to hear it all.
I'm sure he does.
I want to hear it all. Anyways, back to sleep paralysis and lucid dreaming. Sean, do you want to lucid dream, or are you sad that you can't? Or
to be able to control it? I think there's been a few times when I've been able to mildly control it.
Yeah.
I think the problem is, as of late, when I have dreams that I remember, they're always anxiety dreams. Aww. So rather than think, oh, I'd like to be able to control this, I'm more like, I gotta get the hell out of here and wake up or something.
That's so sad.
Yeah. It is actually sad.
That is really sad. Hey, let's end the podcast on a bummer.
No.
Poor Shawnee. I'm not the one giving him anxiety.
No, it's not. It's
everything but me. That's a really nice way to say it, honey. But the final thing that I think I wanted to say was, I think it's so cool that when they did that study about lucid dreaming, how they did MRI, so magnetic resonance imaging, and they saw that parts of their people's brains that aren't normally lit up during that REM sleep when they were lucid dreaming was. So I thought that was kind of cool, because it's just all about how cool and magical everyone's brains are. Sean's brain is also cool and magical. Because he can sleep on telephone poles.
So can we just give some tips for trying to experience lucid dreams real quick?
Are you sure you want to? I don't want anyone to get hurt.
No, I do. Because one of them, we've already talked about one, literally. It's keep a dream journal.
Okay.
And the other one is practice reality testing.
What does that mean?
That's how you tell the difference between when you're dreaming or you're actually awake and conscious. And it's like this, like, and it says to do this while you know you're awake in the day. Like, One of the tests is try to put your fingers through your palm. Obviously, you can't do it when you're awake.
Look at me. I'm like, I'm trying.
If you're lucid dreaming, they'll go through your palm. Right?
Maybe not for me.
No, it says that it will. If you have tattoos, if you have tattoos and you look at your tattoos and they are your tattoo, then you're awake. If they're different, then you're dreaming. In a dream state, it says that if you look in a mirror, you'll look different, like substantially different.
So this is really just like a thing to make sure you know what reality is when you're awake?
No, it's brain practice. It's a dual thing. It's like being able to tell when you're dreaming. Okay, like if you're dreaming and you're lucid dreaming, you're aware of the dream. But do you always know it's a dream? So these steps, supposedly even to do them while you're awake, help train your brain. What was that?
For those of you who are watching, a cat just walked across my face.
If you do these things while you're awake, it trains your brain kind of to remember them while you're dreaming.
Oh, that's cool.
To help you experience lucid dreams that you can actually control rather than just remember. And then there's other simple tips like have a good sleep schedule and actually get a decent amount of sleep. Don't drink alcohol. Don't do drugs. Stuff like that.
So be like straight edge.
Not straight edge, but... Sleeping's healthy for you.
Really?
Every day. That's why.
Every day.
That's why we're so not healthy, even though we are. Just joking.
Okay. I like the fact that Liz just commented that her husband already knows this list of how to do it. I like the fact one of our other friends, Rebecca, said that, you know, she's like, no, you can train to do this. And I like love the fact that people want to experience that magic, you know, like that are, you know, in their life, and that people like art or like the people who made that list are like, oh, let's make sure we know what reality is. And, you know, like Liz just said, there's also the count the pieces, number of pieces of furniture in the room. So, you know, what's real versus what's not.
Yeah, and for you author folks, if you happen to be reading and you look back at the text and it changes, you're dreaming. Ooh. Obviously. But, and then there's also sleep induction techniques. Like one is sleep for 5 hours and purposefully wake yourself up and then go back to sleep. And
that
I think
cool.
Well, it is. But it has to do with re-entering the REM phase.
Wow.
Because that's where the lucid dreaming happens. I totally agree with you, Marie.
Marie just said, no alcohol. How do you think I actually get to sleep at night?
That's why I always have anxiety dreams when I remember what they are.
That's right. That Sean takes a drink. Listen to that, people.
Just water.
The ice cubes. He's trying to be so cool.
I'm trying to get a Bud Light advertisement here.
Oh, stop it. You're so bad. So anyways, I think it's really cool that brains are like this and that we sleep differently and we dream differently and that some of us have this ability to sleep anywhere and some of us have this ability to fly in their dreams and some, like, you know, there's just so many cool things that our brains are and mesh. And it feels magical to me. Like all those differences seem so magical and cool.
I'm actually very, very amazed at how many people don't remember their dreams at all. And
does it make you feel less
alone?
Everybody
dreams of. yeah. Actually, more normal, yes. But I have been having a long run of dreams lately. And they,
I'm sorry, you know, we can control them, babe.
But I don't always remember them when I wake up. I just know they weren't super positive, like cozy dreams.
Yeah, everything can't be beautiful all the time, like real life.
That's right.
Like real life. Woo! Real life. So we'll have all the tips for and stuff and the links on our what's it called? A website? Is that what it's called?
Probably.
Yeah, on our website, carriejonesbooks.blog. And please like and share and subscribe and, you know, listen, come hang out with us again next Friday.
Do you know what we're doing next Friday? Do you know what we're doing next Friday?
Hanging out with John Bell and getting days of content on Sean.
No! Do you want to stay married?
Oh my gosh, is it that bad?
No.
Am I going to have nightmares that I'm going to have to lucid dream and control?
I don't think so. Not as far as my memory.
All right. Well, thank you for hanging out with us and making this far more fun than
it was. Yes, thank you so much.
Sean just had to talk to me.
What?
I said making it so much more fun than if Sean only had to talk to me.
Oh,
yeah. Go lose the dream.
Oh my God, sleep good tonight.
Sleep really good.
Drink tons of alcohol.
But only if you're above age and you don't have a problem with alcohol. And disclaimer, disclaimer, disclaimer.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
'Thank you for listening to Loving the Strange. Please be sure to like and subscribe. And remember, embrace the strange. New episodes every Saturday, live streaming Fridays. Go get your strange on, friends. Thanks for listening.